But I want you to turn this morning in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. That's way over in the New Testament. There's Bibles there, I believe, in the pews in front of you. And you have your own Bible, I'm sure. But I want you to look with me on three verses of Scripture this morning in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Hebrews, verses 1, 2, and 3. The writer of Hebrews, I don't know who he was. Most people say it was probably Paul, but that's beside the point. It's an inspired letter, and that satisfies me. But whoever it was, therefore, he writes, therefore, what's it there for? You've heard that, haven't you, many times. When you see that in the Bible, and it means, well, I better go back and reread chapter 1. Because it says, now, therefore. So, therefore, there was something in chapter 1 that was very, very important. And here we are in chapter 2. Therefore, the writer says, we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Now notice this. Lest possibility that we might drift away. Why would you want to drift away from the Lord? Why would you no longer listen to this? Well, there were a lot of Jews that were wanting to go back in Judaism. They were not happy. They were feeling bad in a lot of places. And on into the book of Hebrews, you find them walking with drooping hands. They were discouraged. And you know, when those things happen, we can get into a lot of trouble. The church goes down. And so what we are looking at here, that therefore we must give the more earnest heed. We really must get into it and not just say, oh, I didn't see you last Sunday, won't you come? And then we move on. Let's find out about these people. Why are they missing now and then? Or why are they getting more and more to it? And so it is in verse 2. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That's very important. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Got an illustration for you. And this is an old illustration. But it just fits in so well right here. Listen to it carefully. It's two men who were fishing. There are a lot of people who love to fish here in this place that we live. There was a place back in the hills of Tennessee where I was born, and they love to go after the fish and so forth there. But here, these two men were fishing, and they were in a good-sized body of water. And they were really doing well that day. And they were just continuing to fish and catch and bring in, get things ready again, catch and get fish brought in. And they weren't paying attention to what was around them. They were just interested in fishing. They were interested in taking advantage of the day. And they kept going at it. But they finally woke up enough to turn around and look, and they were headed for some falls, the waterfalls. And they had not taken the time to watch this, and it was now beyond stopping it. The boat was going and was going over. By the time these men realized that, it was too late. The pull of the current was too great for them. And so they went. Now, what makes this such a terrible tragedy is that it could have been easily avoided. What? How could it be avoided? Well, you could have been on the lookout every once in a while to where you were going. Sometimes we just get involved in something and we don't know what else is happening. There are people that can get involved in a lot of things when they're driving, and pretty soon they wind up with an accident. And so it is that the scriptures are trying to help us to see that we need to be earnest about our surroundings. The scriptures teach us that one of the greatest dangers that we feel as Christians, Christian life, is not the danger of persecution, but rather the danger of drifting away from the Lord. You see what I'm saying? You see where I'm headed? Sometimes we get involved in things, and people get us into activities at work. They get us into activities in school. They get us into activities of this and of that and so forth and so on. And pretty soon you find that these people have no time for the Lord. They have no time for the church. It's I'm busy here, I'm busy there, and so forth and so on. And we need to be careful about that, because it is important that we take a, now listen to me, that we take a daily, not a weekly, not a monthly, not a yearly, but a daily assessment of our personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, did you get that? We are going to have to pay a good care for the Lord and for His work. You know, many of today's most popular preachers preach one bad lesson, and that is that once saved, we're always saved doctrine. And they go about that, and everybody's happy, and people sometimes can just give up and do what they want to, and they say, well, I don't care. I've been saved by the Lord, they told me down there at the church, and everything's all right, and I'm not going to lose my soul. Oh, I know I don't come much, but that's all right. Everything's going to be okay. Now, if this is true, why is the Bible filled with warning after warning about falling away? What I want to talk about this morning is, are you drifting away? Brethren, that's very serious. Not because I'm saying it, but it is very serious. We're not once saved and always saved, and it doesn't matter what else happens then. Salvation is very important. And that's why we want to look this morning. Are you drifting away? As you look around, I bet that you can call faces of people who used to occupy these seats. What happened? Well, some died. Yes, we know that. Some people moved. We know that. But some people, they just sort of drifted out into the country again, out in the city, are here, are there, around. And you don't see them anymore at church. You may see them in a store. You may see them one day. Say, hey, good to see you. We're missing you. Well, you know, I don't know. I might come back. I might not. I'm not too. What's wrong? What's wrong? Where the Bible filled with warning after warning after warning of falling away, we need to be very serious about it. And I know I hear when I'm here that I hear announcements made of people who are sick and people who have sort of wandered away. And sometimes we find that the elders have to do a very serious job of letting know that we tried and we tried and we tried to get them to come back, but they didn't. what's happening. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, we read, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." In Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." In Matthew 24, 13, "But he who endures shall be saved." 1 Timothy 4, 1, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Right here in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame." Brethren, what do all these verses mean? Maybe you need to sit down with those verses this coming week. Not because I'm telling you about them, but they're not mine. They're the Bible. And maybe we need to sit down and say, maybe I'm just sort of a little falling away. I'm not studying my Bible like I should. I'm not visiting like I should. I'm not always in attendance like I should. So what do we do? James 2:14 says, "What does it profit a man if somebody says that his has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" You know, can anyone please tell me why the Lord would warn us time after time about falling away and remaining faithful unto death, if it is not possible that we will fall away one day, maybe? People will just gradually wander away. We know those who have walked away. And why do they not come back before it's too late? I don't know. I know sometimes people get their feelings hurt. I know sometimes people don't like the preacher anymore. I know a lot of things. But what are we looking at the Bible? What are we finding in this book that we need? There in the Old Testament, the book of Samson. I think it was last week I told you that our adult class at Lake Forest has been reading these biblical characters for this quarter. But Samson was a man who was born as a Nazarite, and he had the Nazarite veil, and God had given great things to this man. But you look at how he used it, the trouble that he got in. King Solomon is another one. The king was the one who wished men on earth in his day, but things weren't working right. You know, it's sad that more Solomon chased after things of this world, the further he got away, until he finally came to his senses and got up and got back. That book of Ecclesiastes is one of the great books for me. And I go back to it ever so often and read it and read it and reread it, because there's so much in there that we could use. Examples in the New Testament. Look at Judas Iscariot. Look in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. We read about the man named Demas, who at one time had been one of Paul's great co-workers. Paul had been able to use him so much, but eventually Demas drifted away from the Lord and he went back to worldly living. In 2 Timothy 1, verses 18 through 20, there was Hymenaeus and Alexander. And these had trouble. The Gospel of John in chapter 6 says, many of Jesus' disciples abandoned him. Why? Why do they do that? Well, let's see if we can dig into it just a little bit deeper for a few more minutes. First of all, we need to know that any one of us is capable of drifting away. We could start here with our good brother, and we could go all the way back and all the way and come back. And there's that possibility that we could drift away. Well, we need to know that any one of us is capable of that. Why? Why are we capable of that? Well, you say, Maynard, I'm capable of not falling away because I sit down every day and I read a good portion of this book. Or I look on the TV and see the things of Victor that he has put on there. And you read those. And you sit down with your Bible and you just read it. And if you're like me, the old Bibles I've got, they're all so written up, torn and tattered and everything else. But you can always tell if people are reading the Bible or not. Back when I was just a young preacher and I was really struggling financially, those were days when if you got $5 for a week of sermons, you were doing pretty good. And I had to have some little bit of help, and so I got into this business of selling Bibles. Beautiful Bibles. Wonderful leather Bibles. And I don't remember at that time how much they were, but you could pay on monthly payments. But sometimes when I would go back around to these people that I had sold one to and stop and visit with them and see how they were doing and so forth and so on, and I would look to that Bible, and it might be on a coffee table, and it would be sitting there just as new as the day I sold it to them. What's wrong with this picture? It's a good Bible. They don't make them anymore like this. But it's a wonderful Bible. It had the King James Version, but it also had the American Standard with it along in places. It had good readings of this and that and so forth and so on. And people could wear them out, but they didn't. You know, I didn't feel great that I had to sell that, or that I did sell that Bible to that person, and they're not using it. And the saddest things of all is that some were not reading it because they could not read. But they had that Bible. Brethren, what is it? Verse 1 that we looked at a while ago. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Why? Lest we drift away from it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed. Why? Lest he fall. One of the most deceiving things about drifting away from the Lord is the false notion that it can never happen to me. I'll never do it. And yet I've seen people that were very faithful for years and then gradually walked away. You remember Peter there with Jesus when he was talking about his crucifixion. And Peter was saying, oh, no. I'll watch out for you. I'll take care. Christians, none of us should ever go or be so presumptuous or self-righteous that we just can do it all. If it happened to Samson and to Solomon and to David and to the Apostle Peter, why couldn't it happen to me? Why couldn't it happen to you? Why couldn't it happen to any of us? Even the Apostle Paul thought about that. Perhaps one of the greatest deterrents to every falling away from the Lord is to consistently be aware that it could happen to any one of us. Jesus warns us in Matthew chapter 24 that before he returns, many will fall away from the faith. Brethren, are you being faithful? Are you staying with it? Are you trying to encourage other members who are becoming slack in their attendance? You want these people to wake up. Secondly, we need to know some of the warning signs of drifting. If it is possible for any one of us to start drifting away from the Lord, we certainly need to know what the warning signs are. You see, one starts to drift away from the Lord, but there are no bells. There are no whistles, no alarms. There is no sudden jolt. It's going to happen. But the elders don't go around sounding horns and whistles. They want people to turn back to this. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest reasons why spiritual drifting poses some of the dangers that it's so easy to get into. It requires no effort of energy. All one has to do is to start drifting away from the Lord, is simply relax and stop putting forth any kind of effort to grow and mature in one's walk with the Lord. That's all we have to do. Here are some warning signs. Fix them in your mind. The loss of desire to read and study the Bible. Is that happening to you? Did you forget yesterday? Did you forget this morning? Are you forgetting about it this afternoon already? The loss of desire to spend time in prayer. How long did you pray this week that just passed? How many times did you talk to the Lord? Did you hurry through? Did you pray the same prayer that you pray all the time? Or is it a little more involved in that? Growing lax in one's church attendance. The presence of secret or habitual sin in one's life. The loss of such spiritual joy and enthusiasm. Doubts about one's salvation. On and on it could go, brethren. These are some critical areas of our spiritual lives that we need to understand about. And then we need to know how to stop drifting away. In our text, the Hebrew writer tells us in verse 1 what we need to do to prevent spiritual drifting. Therefore, remember that? We emphasized it. But therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we drift away. This is exactly what the Hebrew writer is admonishing us to be careful about. Lest we walk away. The best way to prevent drifting away is to stay in the Word of God. David wrote in the Psalms, "Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24 and 25, "Therefore, whoever hears the sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. It did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." As you look out over those brethren that you have known over the years, and you've known some who have become unfaithful, I was reading about a man who was very faithful to the church. He was a hard-working farmer. Milk, that's what he did. Sold milk. And he worked at it, and he worked at it, and it was hard. And he had to be up at 4:30 in that morning. But they were always at church. For some reason or another, one day he decided, "I want to give this work up. It's too hard." And so he did. He sold that business. And he started a new business, the Suzuki Motorcycle Shop. Maybe he always liked a motorcycle, I don't know. But boy, business just took off. And people were trading there all the time. He was making good money. And he did all the days, Monday through Saturday, but he did close it down on Sundays. But he just kept growing and doing well. And so one day he said, "Well, let's open it on Sunday. It'll make more money." And he was losing his faith. To what he had once been, he was now a hard-working man and making money. But one day they were having a gospel meeting, and there was his wife and himself. And they came every night to hear the gospel again. And he returned to the Lord. I believe with all my heart that we must be ready for the Lord's return at any moment. And I also believe with all my heart that a lot of the people who claim to be Christians are not ready to find Him, are not ready to get to Him. Brethren, think about it this morning. It's not an outstanding great sermon. It's not something as great as your good preacher, Vic. He does an outstanding job. But brethren, are you drifting away? Will most of us be back tonight? How about Wednesday night? How about the VBS that's coming up? Will we be working and supporting it? Brethren, it's important for us to know. What shall we do? Shall we buy, or shall we have that gospel in our hearts, in our lives? And we reach out to teach others. If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel, I don't know what's holding you back. Maybe you have some good reasons. Maybe you're studying. Maybe you think, "I'm okay anyhow. Everything's okay. I was baptized back when I was a little person," and so forth and so on. Is it right? Is it what the scriptures teach us? Or do we have some here this morning who have not been as faithful as they should be, that you might spend this time today thinking about it and ask the Lord to forgive you. Whatever it might be, you be thinking about it as we sing this invitation song. If you need to come forward and make known your needs, let's do so as we now.